Well, appreciate y'all having the weather just right for a bluegrass festival. All we heard, it was like in the 70s and just a little light breeze, and everything yesterday was just so perfect. Well, we was in Athens, Alabama, and it was not that. It was about 90 degrees and about 98 degrees humid, or 98% humidity. I had a big time down there with those folks. Tennessee Valley National Fiddlers Convention. Wow, old place. And it's a lot of fun. And then Friday night, I played for the Friends and Neighbors in Kentucky. It's called the Knott County Trail Ride. If you haven't been to the Knott County Trail Ride, son, you ain't lived yet. So I reckon we've all lived through that. So he's right on top of a hill. I guess they might have, you know, strip mined it because it was flat on the top up there. And but Lord of mercy, everybody was my cousin. Hey, Rick, I'm your cousin. Thanks, brother. Good to see you, son. How's your mom and them? How's your dad and them? Yeah, I'd have my picture made with me. I was about 2 years old. Said, you still got it? No. My dogs ate it. So great. I loved it. So we've had a nice weekend. Getting to be here with y'all is just real great. We had heard of the Festi for a long time, and we'd hoped we'd get over here sometime. So thanks for having us over here. We appreciate it a lot. Maybe we can come on a cooler day next time. I don't know, but you know, you just never know. So if we'd have been here yesterday, it may have been in the 80s. Anyway, but we're glad to be here. And like I said, sorry I can't pick for another, oh gosh, about, I think five more weeks, six maybe. But I'm doing my therapy now, doing my pulls, putting my arm up there. And it was not rotator cuff surgery. Wasn't quite so bad. But I have a torn rotator, and I think it's what the doctor said, what caused the bicep tendon to tear. It just gave up the ghost. It couldn't take any more popping and grinding and banging and all kind of stuff like that. You know, just road work and really fast playing. Someone asked me last night, what happened to your arm? I said, I was playing so fast it flew off out in the crowd. Somebody grabbed it for a souvenir and I had to run them down and they sewed it back on. Well, my stairs. People believe anything you tell them long enough. Yep. All right. I want to do you a song that my mom and dad used to sing in church. And I love to hear them sing. Oh, my God. They were such great singers. My dad was a really, really fine singer. And my mom, she sang just, she just had that old mountain Kentucky woman voice. You know, I can't explain it any other way. They all kind of sung like that up there. And they sung hard and loud, and I tell people her voice was so sharp it would spay cats in four counties. Telling you, she was something else. But what a great mama. So thankful to have grown up with godly parents, godly mom and dad. It was the greatest blessing, I'm telling you. The stuff they told me then, you know, I'm seeing now, and all of those words are coming back in my heart. And it's not like you ain't been told, son. But, boy, they were something. They were so in love and loved each other so much. And Mom took care of the farm. We had a little old small farm there. Had cow, milk cow, and chickens, and a hog that we, you know, took care of every year. Always looked a little different in the spring, though. He's a little smaller in the spring. But anyway, we lived that way. We lived mountain ways, and it was not a bad way to grow up, I tell you. And I learned a lot of life lessons, and we couldn't get the internet up there. 1954. And iPhone wouldn't work up there at all, and nothing like that. But we had a lot of love, and we had a lot of good music. I think that's why once I realized I could play, my dad bought me my first mandolin when I was 5 years old. I've been singing with mom and dad in church since I was about three, and so I could hear harmony. So I got a mandolin, started playing, I used to drag it around in a little red wagon I had. You know, a lot of people carry a blanket around, you know. I carried my wagon and hauled my mandolin in there. I'd stop and play it a while, and I'd put it back in there. But it was just a companion, and I took it to bed with me, laid there, and I'd play it, go to sleep. And so it was something else to get to make music on something so small and so tiny. And met Mr. Monroe when I was 6 years old. We all went to see him up in Martha, Kentucky. Yeah. In Martha, Kentucky, and he was there playing a show, we bought, I think the tickets were 50 cents a piece, you know. Good Lord, how in the world they make any money? And that place was full, and friends and neighbors come out to hear Mr. Bill Monroe, Bluegrass King, star of the Grand Ole Opry, and WSM Radio. And man, they started tearing it down when they got up there. It was just incredible. And so one of the neighbors in the hood up there got to shouting out, "Let little Ricky Skaggs get up and sing a song." And he didn't pay it no mind, and they did another one, and two or three of them, really. "Let little Ricky get up there now." I think Mr. Monroe had seen that before, so. Anyway, he called me up there. He had no idea how little Ricky Skaggs was when he called me up there. And the stage was only about, you know, 2.5, 3 feet off the floor. So he just bent down there and pulled me up like a sack of feed or something, you know. And said, "What do you play there, boy?" I said, "I play the mandolin." He took that Gibson F5 of his looked like a guitar for my little 6 year old bony butt, and he put that thing on me and wrapped. He had a boot strap that was made out of leather. I thought he was so bad. Man, he didn't have some furly kind of strap, you know. He had this leather, like a woodsman, you know, had this leather strap. This leather boot string was what it was, you know, around his mandolin, and he wrapped it around there and made it fit me. And my mama had told me before I went up there, because when he called my name, I looked at mom and she said, "Don't you sing that pinball song when you get up there." I knew two songs besides our church songs. And so half my repertoire was shot, so I just hoped that they knew the other one. And thank goodness they knew "Ruby, Are You Mad at Your Man?" Now that's real 6-year-old material, you know, you think about it. I didn't know what she was mad about. I just knew I liked the song, you know. And so they knew it. It was a big Bobby and Sonny Osborne hit at the time, so away we went, you know. And but that night really changed my life, you know, getting to play with a full band. It wasn't just dad, you know, it's a full band, you know. And it just did something to me, you know. It made me want to do this. I want to do that, you know, and I want to do that some more, you know. And so I started following Mr. Bill Monroe really, really close, just watching him. And because I'd never seen him until that night, I wouldn't have known him from, you know, I wouldn't have known what he looked like at all. And but from that night on, just seeing him give up 5 minutes of his precious showtime to let some little, you know, wet behind the ear hometown kid that you know, people had seen at Butler's grocery store and at church, get up there and sing. He talk about taking a chance, you know. And but boy, what a blessing that was. And we talked about that many times later on in life when we got to know each other real good. But I always appreciate that. Now that's in my book. So if you want to read the whole thing, it's got a lot of stories like that. It's got the story of the first time I went to a bluegrass festival with Ralph Stanley. Me and Keith Whitley were 15 years old, and Ralph had seen us in Fort Gay, West Virginia, in a beer joint where he was going to be playing. His bus had a flat tire or something. I don't know. They had to change it. They were just going to be 30 or 45 minutes late. And so the beer joint owner somehow come up and ask us if we had our instruments with us, you know, like we was big names around town, you know, and we said, well, yeah, you know, and Dad never left home without it. He was the inspiration for the American Express slogan, you know. And anyway, we got up there and played, and the only songs we knew were Stanley Brothers songs, and it was old Stanley Brothers songs, the things from the 40s and 50s. And so Ralph comes walking in. Some of the boys came in first and started loading in the dressing room back there. They went in a little dressing room. And here Ralph came, and he went over there and sat down on a bar stool. And I was like, I did not want to see Ralph Stanley watching me sing his tenor lines and his songs. So tore up over that. And he just sat there. Look over there, and there he was. And anyway, but that night, that was another one of those defining moments for me, because meeting Ralph, because I'd met him in Carter before that. I just went up and sang, you know, something of mine, you know. But to sing on a Ralph Stanley show and play with him, and him hear what we were doing, that was a whole different thing. And so it was a really, it's a real game changer for me. But that started our relationship that lasted till Ralph passed away here a few years back. And so thankful. And the story I was going to tell you real quick is the first time that I went to a bluegrass festival with Ralph, got on Ralph's bus. And oh my God, we were like, me and Keith we didn't have no place to sleep. And it was an old bus that just had some set-up chairs in the front, you know. Like, they would lean back this far, you know, that was it. And so we sat up all night and tried to sleep. And but while we were driving a little bit, Ralph wanted us to be singing. He said, sing some of them songs, Rick, them old songs that Keith was doing. He's driving. And so we start singing. You know, and we'd sang another one. I saw Curly and Ralph talking. I thought, they ain't listening to us. What are they doing? You know, and so anyway, we got off this 4-lane road, and we got on a 2-lane road. We drive around that a while, and then I noticed we got on a gravel road. And rode on that gravel road for a while, and then got off on a dang dirt road. Where in the heck we going? This ain't the way to North Carolina. And so I saw Curly Red grab a flashlight. And he said, Ralph, you reckon he'll be up? You know, Ralph said, I reckon, said he probably stays up pretty late. They take off. I thought, why didn't he use the bathroom back there when we was at a truck stop getting fuel? I mean, anyway. He's gone about 15 or 20 minutes, and he come back with a glass jug, a mason jar, and it looked like they had water in it, you know? And I thought, what in the world did he go get? And so he started shaking it, and then I saw it bubbling up around, or just little beads around the top of it, you know. He said, boy, Curly said, look at it, bead there, Ralph, you know. And Ralph said, oh, I bet she's good. Let's try it out. They take him a snort, and I realized, oh, my God, I've just seen a moonshine deal go down. You know, I thought about my little sweet mama at home that trusted us to go with Ralph Stanley, these ancient men on the road. And but we go to this festival, and it's the first time, there's Camp Springs, North Carolina, and it was the first time I ever saw hippies. All these people that were colorfully dressed and just so happy. Yeah, smiling, happy people. Yeah, and they danced on every song. And then we did Rank Stranger, and they danced on it too. And I thought, oh my God, why are they dancing on a gospel song? Because I knew there were some people that went to a church down the road down there that Dad wouldn't let us go to, that they danced on everything too. They'd get up and dance all the time while they sang it. And, anyway, I wasn't too smart back then. I didn't know the ways. And I kept noticing they were very poor looking too. They were poor. I noticed this guy had just rolled up an old cigarette. You know, my grandpa used to roll Prince Albert tobacco, you know, roll it up and smoke it out, you know, out of a can. But these guys were out there, there's like four or five of them, and they are so poor, they just kept passing it around. They all shared one cigarette till it was gone. Man, that is some poor people. What is that? Oh boy. Anyway, that was a lot for a 15-year-old to take in. So the ways of the road, yeah. That's all in my book. And Curly Ray Klein eating 10 hot dogs on a bed. Yeah, you gotta read that. Anyway. Here's one of the songs that the hippies danced on, and you're free to dance anytime, anything you want to dance on, but here's Rank Stranger.